Welcome to episode 367 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Richard, we just did the show last week, but maybe it's just because time has been flying because everything's been so busy. But it feels like it's been a really long time since we've last recorded.
Yeah, it does. You know, and it's funny, I was just today listening to last week's show because I'm about a week behind on my podcast, like I have been for the last 3 months, and I didn't even remember all of it. It seemed so long ago.
So, you know, actually, as we bring up last week's episode, a couple of things that we have to mention. First, I'm sorry if you didn't get it. I'm sorry if you got last week's episode first, and then maybe you got 366 later. I messed up the posting of the show. It affected some of you. It didn't affect others, so I apologize for that. And hopefully that won't happen again. Also, I received a fair amount of feedback from numerous people about how depressing last week's episode was. You know, when people say that, your instinct is to apologize. And every time I apologize, the people would say, well, it's not your fault. It's Microsoft's fault. You don't need to apologize. So, I don't think this week is going to be nearly as depressing. So we've got that going for us.
I think that that is an accurate statement. Plus, I think we're going to start off with someone kind of calling you to task on the tone of last week and prior episodes.
Which is why you're going to make me read this. Hey, all right. So after not getting any feedback last week, we got an email from Rob. This is a lengthy one, so bear with me here. He says, hope everything is well, and I got to say, I love the show and current format you guys are using. I wish it was a little bit more positive, see? But hey, you can only work with what you have. But I do have to take issue with the... with Josh's and the Windows Phone community at large's portrayal of the Lumia 950 and 950 XL as a lackluster incremental improvement, barely able to call itself a flagship phone. Before I get into this, that isn't exactly what I said.
No, but you know what? As you're reading that, I'm, you know, the person who oftentimes ends up editing a lot of the messages that we get. And I'm amazed at what a well-formed statement that is.
It really is. Absolutely. So anyway, he goes on to say, in comparison to the other Windows Mobile flagships like the 930 and Icon and the 1520, it's so clearly a better phone that I don't get all the angst. It has a much better screen, higher amount of RAM, the latest processor available at the time, expandable microSD storage, larger replaceable battery, better camera front and back, biometric logon, USB-C connector, and so on. The specs are pretty much the same as or better than any flagship Android phones released around the same time. So what's left? Design and software? Why put so much emphasis on design when 90% of people will slap the phone in an ugly case? For the other 10%, get a $30 Mozo replacement back and call it a day. The phone was already hundreds cheaper than comparable models from Samsung, HTC, and Apple. Unfinished software, yeah, no argument for me on that one. But the phone itself gets way too much hate, if you ask me. Now, Rob, you're right. You are absolutely right. I wouldn't say that what I was personally giving it was hate. I don't see it as a big enough improvement in areas that I care about to justify the cost. You know, I bought a Lumia 1520 last summer for $250. The 950 XL was $650. The screen is probably better. Sure, I don't really care that much. The more RAM would be nicer. I already have expandable SD. The battery life on my 1520 was always great, and I don't care about replaceable batteries. I doubt that the camera is noticeably better, but maybe it is. Biometric login stuff, eh, USB-C, eh. But the rest of it, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It is a better phone than the 1520 and the Icon and the 930. But the point that I was trying to make was that it wasn't a better enough phone for me. I know that's not true for a lot of people, but for me, it just wasn't better enough to justify the huge cost. And then that also, the other thing that's really factored into this for me over the last year has been, I don't know that I want to drop $650 on a phone for an operating system that I don't know is still really going to be viable within the 2 year time span of using a $650 phone.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. And I want to add that I actually do take issue with the design. I think one of the issues with this device is that it looks and feels cheap. It doesn't have a high quality feel to it like I would expect a flagship phone to feel. And I don't quite know what it is that I'm missing. Maybe it's plastic versus metal. But when I compare it to some of the earlier Nokia phones like the 900 or the 920, it just doesn't feel as solid as those.
Yeah, I agree with you, but at the same time, I completely agree with Rob. Like his statements on the looks and stuff are my exact feelings about phones. It's got to be a decent phone. Like, you don't want it falling apart, of course. But in terms of design, he's right. The vast majority of people out there just throw a big ugly case on these things anyway. So at that point, it doesn't matter at all what the phone looks like. And for the other couple of people, there is the option of those replacement backs. So I'm totally with him on that. Anyway, that's not even his whole email. Let's finish up with the rest of this. He says, sorry for the long email, but I also wanted to comment on how the changes to Xbox Live Gold have turned me into the consumer that game developers hate. All of the free games with gold games, which is a funny sentence, have padded my library so much that I never find myself without something good to play that's new to me. Also, I rarely play any multiplayer parts of the games, so what's with all of the amounts that I only buy new games after they've gone on sale, 6 months to a year after release, because I'm not worried about the online community falling off. So no need to play the games right away. All the bugs have been worked out, and it's typically some Game of the Year edition that includes all of the DLC. So while it's great that my gold subscription gives me all of these great benefits, for someone who has disposable income to spend on games, I find I've been spending a lot less than I was during my days with the Xbox 360, and I wonder if there are others like me that are having some impact on the developers. On one hand, I do like spending less, but on the other hand, I do want these games to continue to make money so that they'll make new ones. Thanks for the show, guys. That's a really, really interesting point. And, I find myself in a similar situation for a lot of games. Now, I know I've been talking about The Division for the last month. It's the only game I've played in the last month. It came out a month ago, so I paid full price for it. I did the same thing for Call of Duty. But those two games separate me from the type of gamer that Rob is, because those types of games I buy for the multiplayer experience, and I do have to buy them roughly when they come out, or else there's not going to be as many people playing them by the time I get to it. So, but for everything else, like a lot of these single player games and stuff, it absolutely makes sense for you to wait on purchasing these games. You know, within 2 months, games are usually on sale at a pretty decent discount. So the strategy that Rob is going with here absolutely makes sense. And I'm not sure that he has to be worried just yet about his type of purchase, his strategy for purchasing games being too much of a detriment to the video game industry, especially for the big guys. I mean, EA, Activision, those guys are making so much money. I really don't think a small minority of people waiting for these games to go on sale or go free is really hurting the industry in any perceptible way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that you're still going to have people who would go out and buy games when they first come out doing that. And it sounds to me like Rob probably isn't that kind of consumer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the hardcore fans of, especially of particular series, they're always going to be there buying the games the day they come out. You know, the Call of Duties, the Maddens, the Halos, these games are going to sell a bajillion copies the first month they come out forever. And that's just how it's always going to be. So yep. I don't think you have to feel worried, nervous, or guilty, Rob. Just keep on doing what you're doing. I'm sure they're happy to get any amount of money that they're getting from you.
And I totally appreciate your digital hoarding tendencies.
Oh, so he's a lot like you, Richard, except that he actually plays those games that he downloads for free.
Exactly.
All right, so how about we move on to a little bit of video news? I saw this just before we started recording tonight, and I have to thank Dave Zatz, actually. It was his tweet that pointed me at this article on Variety.com talking about a new product from Mohu. Everybody knows Mohu, right? They're the ones who make the flat antennas, the Mohu yep. Leaf. I've got one of those hooked up to my Xbox right now. Well, they've got a new one coming out. It's called the Mohu ReLeaf. And it's ReLeaf because it's got some recycled materials. Why do we care? We don't care, right? I mean, that's cool. It's always good to see see recycled materials in use. But the thing that makes this really awesome is that the plastic base of this Mohu ReLeaf, it's not just recycled from any old plastic. It's recycled specifically from plastic from set-top boxes.
Yeah, I love this. I absolutely love this. I saw this device at South by Southwest. Mohu was one of the vendors that was showing some of their wares there. And if I remember correctly, I think one of their giveaways was like a piece of a set-top box. Like they were giving away some of the pieces from the frames of the set-top box. Cracks me up. This is brilliant. This is great PR. And, you know, I love what this company does. This product didn't work for me because it's not a strong enough antenna for me to get reception where I live. That's why I liked Aereo. But I love their products and I'm very excited about this. This is not that expensive either. It's still around the $50 range.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's more expensive than their, because I think it's still basically just the Mohu Leaf 30. I always get their numbers mixed up.
Yeah, it's not the high-end one. Yeah,
it's not the high-end one. I don't think it's the amplified one either, which I think the amplified one is normally $50. So, like, they're not really doing this to sell a bunch of these. They're not doing this. The only reason they're doing this is publicity, basically. It's hilarious. And it proves
their
point. And
because they're being socially conscious.
Sure. And they're slightly being socially conscious. So, there's a fun story to start the night off with. You think we can keep this positive?
I think so. I think there's enough good stuff going on right now.
All right. So, let's move on to some audio news. Are app updates positive? I think they are because they squash bugs. So we've got an app update for the Groove app. Not a major update, and I wouldn't normally even talk about app updates that are this small, except that there's kind of a big bug that this one fixes. So when they released the previous version of the Groove app, which was the first one that was a universal Windows platform app, they broke something that's kind of important. Groove Music Pass stopped working with that version of Groove, which is just hilarious. And it wasn't just Groove
Music Pass. How does that get past testers? Oh, right. They got rid of the testers.
Yeah.
Come on. I have to keep using that as long as I can get away with it.
But we're trying to stay positive here. But you're absolutely right. So they fixed that in this release. So if you're a Groove Music Pass user who wanted to, I don't know, use Groove on your phone, now you can. Make sure you grab the latest version. It's version 3.6.2084.0. Make sure you get that. In terms of bugs that are still around. Well, that issue where you can't really use the app unless you've waited more than 2 minutes after rebooting your phone, that's still there. It's kind of silly, but that's pretty easy to get around.
All right. Well, also in audio, there's a special that Spotify is running right now. And I have to thank the producer from DTNS, Jenny Josephson, for posting about this on Twitter. Spotify is offering a 3-month free trial for the premium subscription for anybody who has not previously been a subscriber. They typically run 1 month free, and now you can get 3 months free trial for the premium subscription if you have not previously had premium. This is, oddly enough, a promotion that is in partnership with Starbucks for some reason. And
do you know the reason?
Well, I don't know the reason. The only thing that I know that's different about it is that if you put your Starbucks perks number in or whatever it's called, you also get some Starbucks stars. So I guess that's kind of cool. And the URL that you go to is spotify.com/Starbucks. So there you go. If you go before May 15th or by May 15th, you'll be able to sign up for this if you haven't already. And of course, Spotify is one of those great apps that has been on Windows devices for quite a long time, including Windows Phone.
Yep. It's a service that both you and I use. 3 months free is awesome. I don't get the tie-in with Starbucks, but thank you, Starbucks, for making this happen. And yeah, the only thing that I want from Spotify is an app for my Xbox. That's it. That's my only complaint with Spotify.
Yeah, I wish we had that. We really don't see Spotify apps on a lot of the set-top boxes. My TiVo has it, oddly enough, but the Xbox does not. I don't get that.
Yeah, that would be really nice. All right, so let's move on to some gaming news. First up is Microsoft officially laid out their plans for E3. E3 is right around the corner. I mean, it's creeping up fast. Frankly, May crept up pretty fast on me. I don't know how it's already May.
I know.
So their E3 briefing will be Monday, June 13th. This is pretty much the same spot they've always had, or at least over the last few years at E3. Monday morning, 9:30 a.m. Pacific. And you're going to be able to, like, there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to watch this. Here's all the ways you can watch it. You can go to Xbox.com. You can go to Twitch. If you've got an Xbox One or 360, you can open up the live events player and watch it there. You got cable TV? You can watch it on Spike in the US and in Canada. This is at least the second year they've done that too. So there's no reason for you not to watch the Microsoft E3 press briefing. Again, Monday, June 13th, 9:30 a.m. We'll tweet out links and all that stuff that morning so that you can all watch it. And of course, we'll have a show that week talking about all of the news that comes from that.
I'll tell you, Channel 9 really needs to take a lesson from the Xbox team, because I found it so frustrating that I could watch the build keynotes online on the web through Channel 9, but not through the Channel 9 app. That made no sense to me.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, that's super annoying. So we briefly discussed before the show whether we wanted to talk about predictions for E3. And I kind of just don't think it's worth it. And neither does Richard, especially since he's not the gaming guy. So we'll see. You know, like, there's plenty of rumors out there. I try not to get too wrapped up in those types of rumors until they become a lot more obvious that they're true. So we'll wait at least until the show gets a lot closer. And instead, move on to things that are actually happening now, like this new promotion that Xbox is running called the ID at Xbox Game Fest. This is starting this week. It starts on May 3rd and goes through the rest of the month. And the idea here is that they're trying to do some extra promotion around all of the ID at Xbox games that they've had and the platform as a whole, because there's been a lot of really great games that have come through this program, like Rocket League came through this program, and like lots of smaller indie games and stuff, many of which that have been really, really good. So every week they're doing something different. This first week, which runs May 3rd through the 9th, they're calling Discovery. And the idea here is that they're going to be promoting games that maybe you've never heard of, or maybe you have, but you never actually played, so that you can give them a try. So the games that they're focusing on this week are The Park, which just came out. I think this is a survival horror game in like an abandoned theme park, which sounds super duper creepy. That game just came out.
Sounds really cool, actually.
Maybe you should buy it and not play it. And then a couple of the other games that they're promoting, Beyond Eyes and Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, which still is one of my all-time favorite game titles. Those are both on sale right now for 50% off. So, you know, keep an eye out for these. They're all on sale. The Park, I think, is on sale, but only for like 10%, and 10% off of a game that's probably $15 is, you know, kind of what's the point, but okay. So that's the first week. The second week, they're focusing on free-to-play games, the second week being May 10th through the 16th. So they're going to focus on games like Smite and Warframe and Roblox. They don't really say what they're going to do to promote these, or if they're going to have deals on the content that you can buy for these free-to-play games. So that was actually the section that seems to be the least flushed out as to what exactly they're going to be doing for that week. The following week, which runs the 17th through the 23rd, they're calling What's Next. This one sounds a lot more interesting. This is focused on their preview program. So the preview program, if you're a PC gamer, this is really similar to Steam's Greenlight section, where games can get into this preview program and you can buy them and play them before they're done. Some might argue that if you buy any game, even at release, you're probably buying a game that's not done. But we'll look past that. There have been some great games that have come through this preview program, like The Long Dark, The Solus Project. There's been a lot, and it sounds like they're going to be announcing more games that week. So Ark Survival Evolved. That's a hugely popular game that came out through the preview program. So a lot of really cool games have come that way. And then the final week, the 24th through the 30th, they're calling the Best of ID at Xbox. Going to have a bunch of games on sale. You've probably even heard of most of these. Rocket League, Rogue Legacy, Banner Saga, lots of them. So that's going to be a great week to be looking for, you know, well-known indie games on sale on your Xbox One. And frankly, the end of May, that's a great time to be buying indie games, because you're not going to see a whole lot of big name AAA games coming out. And there's a couple there, but as we head into the summer, those releases really start to drop off. So really good time to be stocking up on the indie games. That leads us into this week's deals with gold. Last week, those deals with gold were terrible. The week before, they were terrible. It seems like they've been terrible forever. Not really. But that's not the case this week. This week, it's not just a deals with gold and spotlight sale. They're also having a Microsoft publisher and the ID at Xbox stuff all going on sale. And there's some nice deals here. You've got Battlefield 4 for $10. Forza Horizon 2 Ultimate Anniversary Edition for $63. Yes, that's a lot of money, but it's all the DLC. Similar case with Forza 6 Ultimate for $70. Again, it's a lot, but it's all the car packs included with it. Halo 5 is on sale for $39, or this is a brand new thing they're doing, Halo 5 in a bundle with Halo the Master Chief Collection for $55. That seems like a pretty good deal if you don't already have those Halo games. Rare Replay, down to $18. Rise of the Tomb Raider, which came out last November, almost half off at $33. Star Wars Battlefront, which seems like it's on sale every single week, is down to $30 also. So lots of really good sales going on right now directly on Xbox Live. So definitely check those out. There's even more. There's also a ton of Xbox 360 games. I don't like to recommend them, though, unless I know they're also backwards compatible, and they don't specifically say that. So definitely going to want to click the link in the show notes and check out the complete list of things that are on sale this week.
Cool.
And then what might be, well, it probably won't be our last update, but almost our last update on the current betas that are open on the Xbox One. Last week, we saw the Gears of War 4 beta. I unfortunately never got a chance to play it, so I don't really know if it was any good. But this week, there's going to be an open beta for Overwatch, which is the one of the other big games that's coming out this month. It's a multiplayer shooter, sort of like Team Fortress, but way, way, way more characters. I'm really excited about this one. The open beta is May 5th through the 9th. I will definitely be checking this one out. And then it's weird that this one is called a beta, but Forza Motorsport 6 Apex, that launches like tomorrow. Well, it's today if you're listening to this when it comes out. It launches May 5th. They're calling it an open beta. It's a free-to-play game. Like, when it launches, isn't that just when it launches, it's free-to-play? Why is that beta? So I don't know why that's a beta, but it is. It starts this week. I'm excited to check this out. Obviously, that doesn't surprise anybody. But I'm concerned that even though I've got a decent computer and a decent graphics card, that it might not actually be anywhere near being good enough or powerful enough of a computer to play Forza Motorsport 6 Apex. But I will be giving it a try for sure, because I would love to have some Forza Motorsport action on my PC where I've got a nice racing wheel to use. All right, Richard, that's it for our gaming news.
Oh, that was my cue to wake up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can you stop snoring and drooling on the microphone over there?
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for news. But, you know, I don't know if you caught this one piece that I wanted to talk about briefly in our other Microsoft news section. And I know I can probably get you riled up when I do anything like quote Paul Theriot. But Paul had a post recently on Theriot.com that essentially says that Microsoft needs to get their act together or they are going to lose the market. And he uses all kinds of dire language in this thing. And of course, the one that any of the press that are covering this are picking up on are the words, "This is a potential extinction moment," which I think is a little bit of hyperbole. But his point is, and I think it's an interesting point, is that Android and iOS have essentially swooped in and kind of become the daily worker, the daily tool for today's younger generation. And he is asserting that the Office that Microsoft depends on so heavily for enterprise sales is going to change significantly when these kids, if you will, who are used to using their mobile devices with mobile device operating systems are suddenly going to enter the workforce and be in offices, and that you're going to have this situation where the office isn't equipped to handle the way these kids work today. What are your thoughts on that?
I think he makes some decent points. I do think that he has a somewhat limited field of view in that his job, his primary profession, and it's been this way for about 20 years for him, is he's a writer who works from home. He's a writer. All he needs to do is open up Word and write. Basically, like right. I don't mean to belittle what he does. There's more to it than that. I know that there's more to it than that. But that type of job doesn't require a lot of really heavy computing. Now, me, I'm skewed at the other end of this. I'm a software developer. My computer is a like $2,500 crazy powerful laptop. Most people don't, like, you know, 98% of people wouldn't need the type of computer that I use on a daily basis.
Right. And you have that because you're using tools that really still today anyway require the power of a high processor, a and desktop development tools that often require a good GPU because you're powering multiple monitors to be productive.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of reasons why I need what I need and why most people don't. I'm more interested in your perspective on this because you're a little bit more in the middle there.
I think I'm exactly in the middle. So as you're saying, you're at the other extreme. I'm the person who has a laptop that's just powerful enough to run the Office suite and a number of basic asset editing tools without any high-end graphics. But I don't need compiling power. I don't need any heavy-duty processing power. What I do need is the ability to create spreadsheets. What I do need is the ability to create presentations that I can give if I'm either speaking or if perhaps I'm running a meeting or a client presentation. What I do need is a good word processor that allows me to create long form reports like proposals and responses to client requests. I don't believe, and here's kind of where I fall on this, I don't believe that his assertion that the tools we use today in the office are going to go away simply because what the kids today use are these little devices that they can operate with their thumbs. I think there's still a need for the tools that we use in the office, and there will continue to be a need for those tools, regardless of what it is you're doing in your personal life. And maybe even in your office life in terms of communications and such. But I still think that there's perhaps not a long-term, but at least a mid-term need where in the next 10, maybe even 20 years, we're still going to see an office that looks not too dissimilar from the ones we have today, except perhaps the computers we use are a little bit more mobile than they were before.
So I think where he is going with this, and this is the thread that I think I most agree with, is that for I think the majority of office workers, and I would bet that you primarily fall into this group also, it's their workflow is they're using Microsoft Office or, you know, some sort of document creation utilities like that, and they're using a bunch of web apps. And all of those things can be done on an iPad or an Android tablet or an Android phone. And you wouldn't want to do all of that work on a phone for sure. But we also have pretty simple ways of hooking these mobile devices up to a keyboard and a monitor and things like that. And, you know, if you can hook your iPad up to a good monitor and a good keyboard and then do everything that you need to do on that, then you have replaced Windows with iOS. And today in 2016, that seems reasonable for a certain number of office jobs.
Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced that I believe that. You know, one of the limitations, even with split view on the iPad, is this single or double window view of things. And despite all the studies about your brain switching from one thing to another, I know that with the work that I need to do and the work that I need to do as a manager in the role that I have requires switching tasks constantly, I need the ability to be able to pop from one window to another. I need the ability to be able to grab stuff from one place to another. I need to be as productive as I can be, and unless tablet technology or mobile device technology changes dramatically, I don't see those tools replacing the tools that I use because I think they will radically reduce my productivity. Even writing an email message today is significantly slower and harder if I have to do it from my tablet, even with a keyboard, than if I just sat at my computer and pounded it out.
Why?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that, you know, my brain is attuned to the way that my desktop computer works, that I have all the other resources that I need to see on the other screens, that I can quickly move stuff between them and have the reference of my old email history in view at the same time that I'm writing an email message. It just seems so much faster. I don't even like web browsing on my tablet, really. I prefer to do that at my desk. There's so much that I think is far more efficient with a large screen, and I know it's temporary, but the mouse that I use today and have for the last 20 years and a keyboard.
I don't think the mouse is temporary, by the way. I don't think the mouse is going anywhere for a while, but okay. So
anyway,
you don't think this is happening anytime soon.
So
you,
I don't
you
think
definitely
this is
don't
happening.
Think it's an extinction event. I do think there are concerns there. And I think that these are things that the higher ups at Microsoft need to be thinking about and planning for ways to win in these areas.
Here's my concern. I fear that it is stressing over stuff like this that allowed Steve Ballmer to buy into Steven Sinofsky's sale of the desktops going away.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Steven Sinofsky regime seems like it was solely focused on this and did such a lousy job of trying to respond to it that seemed to damn the company.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've already got the most productive operating system, which it's hard to argue with that, especially if you're comparing it to these mobile operating systems, then it seems reasonable to think that, well, if you keep making the most productive operating system, you're still going to have customers.
Yeah, I think the lesson to learn here is don't mess it up.
Right.
All right. Anyway, I thought some interesting discussion would come out of that because it was a controversial piece. He's known every once in a while to just write these things that he knows are going to inflame his readers and his listeners. But I thought this one had some interesting points worth discussing. All right. Well, one final piece of industry news. You know, we spoke about the possibility that Rovi might be acquiring TiVo a couple weeks back. Yep, it's happening. So Rovi is officially acquiring TiVo, assuming that it all gets past regulators. I don't see any real reason why it wouldn't. These two are in similar businesses, but not the same business. And I think everybody's concern right now is what happens to TiVo. So, of course, everybody turns to our friend Dave Zatz.
Well, everybody should turn to Dave Zatz.
And in all honesty, he doesn't know any better than we do, but he's been watching TiVo for years. And so his thoughts on this are that TiVo as a product and as a set-top box that you can buy will continue to be available and release product for about another year. And even if that then goes away, that TiVo services will not. If you own a TiVo and you bought lifetime support, this company is likely smart enough to not go turning them off and pissing off the millions of customers that they still have.
Okay, but there were also some product changes too, right?
Well, there were some recent product changes that have absolutely nothing to do with this acquisition. I mean, there is a coincidentally timed release of new DVR products out of TiVo. It just happened to coincide with this news. Now, there's also been some discussion from the management at TiVo, which is what the new company will call itself, that they will likely still be producing some sort of set-top system. What it looks like and what it offers is what's still up in the air, or what they're not talking about yet.
Okay. So we're kind of just waiting for more information on that.
We are, but I think the thing that I want to kind of reinforce here is that, you know, we really don't know. We do not know what's going to happen to TiVo as we know it as a product. It is likely, I agree with Dave, that it is likely they will keep the services going. So if you're a TiVo owner, don't be panicking. This is not a panic moment. This is not an extinction event. This is something that I think we'll find the product line or the company evolving, but I don't think anything radical is going to happen soon. And, you know, just like my media center, I'm very happy with my TiVos, and I don't expect to be giving them up anytime soon.
Last question then about this. If you didn't have a TiVo, but were thinking of getting a TiVo, would now be a good time or a bad time to get one?
I think it really depends what you're looking for. So I think that the product that they are promoting very heavily right now, the new over-the-air TiVo Romeo that they just added a bunch more storage to, and they bundle it with the lifetime service. And I think the apps have 4K capabilities because I think they upped the processor on that. It's a $400 box lifetime service. Lifetime service usually costs more than $400. So you're getting this box and service forever, for as long as this box lives, for over-the-air tuner recording, for tuners. I think that's a pretty good box. So I don't know that I would be looking at TiVo right now if I were getting a cable card box. That's the thing that I'm a little bit concerned about. But that has more to do with what's going on with cable card,
right,
than what's going on with TiVo. So, you know, it depends what your interest is. If you don't have a TiVo now and you're interested in one and you're thinking of over the air, I think it's a good solution. I would hold off on any DVR purchase right now until we find out what's going to happen with the FCC proposed legislation changes.
That makes sense. All right, so that's it for our news, I think. So what's going on in Entertainment Center? And please tell me that there's an end to your Drobo story.
Not yet. It's still repairing itself. So again, I reached out to support. I said, is this common? Is it time for me to start playing taps? And the support guy responded back. He said, no, it is not common, but it's not the final bell yet. He said, let's just let it keep going for a bit longer and see what happens. So
what's a bit longer?
We're measuring in weeks now, right? Right? Like sometimes repair takes hours. We're now measuring it in weeks. I am willing to give it, because I'm basically going to be out of pocket for the next 2 weeks, 2 weeks more time. And then I need another solution because this is ridiculous. This is preventing me from further building out my movie library for Plex. That's what I was in the process of doing. That's why I got the extra drive,
right,
that I inserted that appears to have caused all of this mayhem. Yeah, frustrating. But, you know, I figure I could always just watch some TV, and I have multiple ways of doing that. So I could go and use my Verizon app on the Xbox to do that, right? Wrong.
Nope.
Can't do that anymore. I don't know if we ever actually got back with folks and reported that date when it went dead, but it went dead. The Verizon apps on the Xboxes are now defunct. They're still there. They still try to connect and you'll get an error.
Are they still in the
store?
They're
still there.
Like, could you go and download the app now? Like,
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that, but here's a funny story. So I went into the app because I knew that it was supposed to be going away. And on my Xbox 360, I figured, all right, well, let's just go into the app. And damn if it didn't download an update first and then run the app and just give me a blank screen saying that service is unavailable.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I understand from a technical perspective why it happened, but that's hilarious.
It is. It's funny. So anyway, you may save some disk space if you want to go in and delete those. I went into the system panel and got rid of mine. I have been watching some TV. I've been keeping up with a couple shows, catching up on some, actually. So Amazing Race, The Flash, Arrow, and Banshee. Arrow, man. Oh, and I think there'll be a new one tonight. But man, last week's Arrow was seriously sad. So sad. So If you're into Arrow and you're not caught up, do catch up, because it was a very good show. And, oh, man, so sad. Justified is that show that I'm watching, keeping up with the folks over at Horde Killers as they're talking about it episode by episode. And I'm really enjoying it. This is just one of those fun kind of Western cop guy kind of shows. And I'm glad I picked it up. It gets better and better as I watch it. I've also been catching up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've watched about three episodes. I think I'm still three behind. So a lot going on there, and I'm still enjoying that a lot. And today, as we record this, is May the 4th. So it's very likely that I'm going to have to rewatch The Force Awakens tonight. That's it for me. How
okay,
about you,
Richard? Well, so my update is going to sound a whole lot like last week's update in terms of, you know, scripted television. Homeland is it for me right now. I'm almost done with season two. In fact, I just have the finale. And like, I think it was either Saturday or Sunday that I watched the second to last episode of the season and thought, well, that must have been the finale, right? And it wasn't, which kind of surprised me. And then I thought, well, I have to watch the finale. Like, I can't just leave the finale hanging out there. Yeah, well, life gets in the way and it's still hanging out there. So I'm sure I'll watch it by the time we get to next week. But yeah, still hanging on with one episode left of season two of Homeland. Really, really love that show. And then for the rest of it, sports related things, NHL playoffs, the Penguins are still in it, still doing well. So still watching that. There's been racing on IndyCar, Formula One, of course, and one that I actually wanted to call out, the United Sports Car Series. This is really my favorite racing series. Sports car racing, I find far more interesting than most of the other forms of racing out there. Lots of different cars on the track. Bunches of them are like real looking cars that you could actually maybe buy if you have a lot of money. But the thing that's cool about the United Sports Car Series is, while, you know, it's on Fox Sports 1 and all this stuff, maybe you don't get those, or maybe you do, but like me, they're oftentimes copy protected, so you can only watch it on the one TV. Well, there's another solution here with this particular series. They throw all of their races on YouTube, like a few days after the race is over. So, you know, if you're not someone who has to watch the race, or maybe you can't sit down and watch a 3-hour race, then you can catch up a few days later by just going to their YouTube channel, and you can watch the whole broadcast minus commercials. Like, it's really the best possible way of watching the race, and it's completely free. So definitely wanted to point that out. And that's really about it for me. You know, like, you'll notice there's not even any gaming in here. I didn't even get to play games this weekend. Life has been too crazy. So hopefully that won't be the case for next week's episode, but that's really it for all I've been watching and doing in my entertainment center.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Well, a quick announcement before we leave. I know I mentioned this last week, but I am going to be out of here for the next 2 weeks. And part of the reason for that is that I am going to be at IoT World, and that is in San Francisco. And at the end of that, I'm also going to be interviewing at Future Kitchen, an event on Thursday, May 12th. I'll be interviewing the CEO and inventor of Juicero. That's Doug Evans. And then I'm really excited about this, and we can talk a little bit more about this later, but I have something special going on Friday while I'm out there too. So a little bit of a sneak there.
Ooh, teases. I like it. All right. So That's it for this week's show. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that in a lot of ways. We're on Twitter, at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDMZ. We're on Google+, including that Windows Media Center community. You can shoot us an email message at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or just use the contact form on the website. This also isn't the only podcast at the DMZ. Richard's got one. It's called Home On, and it's about home automation and control news. So what's going on with Home On?
Yeah, I've spoken a lot already about the episode that's up right now with Tom Coates. So just a little bit more info about what's coming up. I have Josh Bradshaw, the product lead from Muzzly, another aggregation service and app. And that's a really interesting conversation. I expect that to be available to folks next week before I go off to IoT World. And then after IoT World, I'll have an episode, and here's what I was actually hinting at, that we're recording in the store beta in Palo Alto. I'm very excited about this. I am going to be talking with one of the founders of Beta. I'm going to get something of an audio walkthrough of the store that we'll share in the episode. And they're also bringing in one of their product partners to participate in the interview as well. So this should be a great episode.
Very cool. Well, you can find all of our podcasts on iTunes and Pocket Cast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play. We don't have links to that yet because I haven't been able to find them. Maybe I'm just, maybe I've just lost my Google foo. I'm not a Google guy anymore. I haven't been able to find those yet. So once we do, assuming there are actual web links for these sorts of things through Google Play, we'll eventually get some links up so that you can use them. And if you like these shows, you should subscribe. But if you really like the shows, then the best way that you can show us that is by heading on over to iTunes or maybe even Google Play, assuming they have reviews there, and leave us a rating or a review. It helps us reach more people, and we really, really appreciate that if you can do that for us. And then if you want to talk to us in real time and actually impact the show, you can potentially do that by listening to us live while we record the show. You can do that right here at the DMZ website. And that's normally Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You know, that might change. I'm not sure. The summer gets crazy. And as I've got more kids now and more busy kids, the summer is looking really insane. So that might change a little. And it just changes frequently anyway. So your best bet for finding out when we're going to be live is just follow us on Twitter at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone. Are the two main ones there for the live show. Follow us there. We'll tweet when the live show is actually going to be. And there's typically a reminder tweet right before we broadcast. So come and join us live and talk to us while we're recording the show. It's a lot of fun for us. And I think it's a lot of fun for you guys too. So that's going to do it for episode 367. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther. And we'll be back next time for episode 368. Until then, adios.
See ya.